Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Join her here on Spiritual Connections Radio every Wednesday night for a unique experience as she shares this knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Hi, I love that new introduction. I'd like to welcome everybody to Spiritual Connections Radio, and this is our launch of a new radio show for Star, and we're really happy to have her here, and she's going to be on every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard. And with that, I'll just mention before I hand it off to you, Star, that if anybody wants to find out more about the different radio shows and what's going on, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to you, Star.
Well, good evening, everybody. I want you to look, feel, sense your thoughts. Many of you are psychics, intuitives. Many of you want to know what is going on in the heads of other people. I'm going to take you on a journey that is different tonight, and we're going to perceive and sense thoughts in a strange yet wonderful form. Imagine that the thoughts are like the four elements, that we have little airy thoughts that are very light. Ooh, I wish I was this. And thoughts that are very quick to go through our head. The air is the thought where songs go viral in your head. And the air thoughts are the thoughts that repeat over and over again to you what your mother said, the criticism you got, the compliment you cherish. When our thoughts travel on air, they are very light. They can be negative or positive. They can be addicting or one-time thoughts. When you have an air thought, your body is light. Your facial expression remains unchanged. Well, unless it's that same song going through your head over and over again, and then the face will change. They're short and sweet, and we do not ponder them too often. So sometimes, when you're in the presence of a person who has air thoughts, it looks like, feels like, seems like they are thinking about nothing. The thoughts go through their head very quickly. And even for a well-trained psychic or healer, they are hard to catch because they don't have a lot of meaning attached to them. They don't have a lot of thoughts, organized thoughts attached to them. Air thoughts will happen when you're looking out of a window. Air thoughts usually happen when you're daydreaming. So that is one way for you to know about air thoughts. To pick up an air thought, your psychic antenna, your psychic lens must tune just a little bit higher than normal so you catch what's at the top of the pile of thoughts, what's going through the person's head the quickest. Take a deep breath. And remember that air thoughts sometimes end up other places. Sometimes you hear someone's stomach growling, when you hear someone with a big yawn, that may be the result of an accumulation of air thoughts in their energy. Next, let's look at, see, perceive, sense what water thoughts are like. Water thoughts flow. Water thoughts have the tendency to fill every crack and every crevice of a person's mind. Water thoughts may have waves to them. Water thoughts may become a little obsessive. So a water thought, maybe I haven't paid my phone bill. Oh, my God, I haven't paid my phone bill. I won't be able to work this week. I'm going to not pay the mortgage on the house. Oh, my God, I'm going to be homeless. Oh, don't be silly. Water thoughts flow. They can take you into deep fear. They can take you down deep to the negative. And water thoughts can be so light. Or you can say things like, I can spend my rent today because an angel is going to bring me the rent money tomorrow. Water thoughts flow. So facial expressions have a tendency to move and change. The eyebrows, the eye, the lips, the cheeks will flow around the face as a person has water thoughts. Water thoughts are usually easy to read the topic of, but difficult to define because they flow in so many areas. So you may know that someone is thinking about their boyfriend, a new home, thinking about being in love, but you have to go deep into your intuition to see whether these thoughts have gone upward to a carefree place or downward into a place of deep worry and maybe even touching on fear. It is important for you to understand when people are in water thought mode, they do not like to be interrupted. They may not hear, see, or perceive you because the water is flowing so fast, so quickly, that thought is consuming their senses. You might say something to somebody, and they may say to you, were you talking to me? What? I wasn't listening. That is a water thought. Now, as I talk about these elements, I am giving you a new tool, a wonderful tool that you may or may not want to use when you are giving readings to someone. Is this an air thought? Is that a water thought? Water thoughts are not exactly the deepest of thoughts. Those would be earth thoughts. And they're not the quickest of thoughts because air thoughts are quick, but fire thoughts, oh my God. I know that all of you have received those red darts out of someone's eye, that little spark of anger when a fire thought has lashed out into the universe, when that facial expression is grim, where no matter how kind, how smooth the person is, when a fire thought, a thought of anger, you broke a deep boundary. How could you talk about this? Flares out into the universe from the mind and energy of someone. It is very, very readable. the quickest fire thoughts are angry. And then, of course, there's other types of fire thoughts. Ever watch a man walking down the street and he see a beautiful woman? I can almost hear the words in his head, hot, or some very other words I really didn't want to hear. Fire thoughts become lukewarm when people are flirting with just enough spark there so the person can catch the meaning behind the thoughts. Good old revenge has a smoldering fire in it, and resistance has a cool, coal-burning fire in the thought. These thoughts are there. They're usually very quick. The intentions are generally clear behind these thoughts. And even strangers can pick up on most fire thoughts. Hopefully, the next time you see a fire thought, it is not the fire thought of anger, but the fire thought of flirting. Now let's talk about earth thoughts. Earth thoughts, because of their very nature, are heavy. They are philosophically deep. They are related to possessions, material planes, what you can have and what you can't have. They're strong. They create a heaviness in the being. Earth thoughts generally precede most other thoughts. If you're a psychic or an intuitive, one of the first thoughts you generally get, am I ever going to be rich? Am I ever going to win the lottery? And we all know that this is a preceding thought. We get this heavy part off, and we get down to the thoughts of what our soul really desires. Earth thoughts are needed. You need earth thoughts to balance your checkbook. You need earth thoughts to make decisions all the time. When your emotions become too much for you, when you become overwhelmed, your brain slows down. It appears like you can't think. It appears like you're seeing through a fog. There are so many earth thoughts there that the synapses in your brain fire at a different rate. Okay, let's do just a little bit of experimentation here. Now, think of a jingle. Think of a jingle. Things go better with Coke. Notice how light that is. Any jingle is written on those air thoughts. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. Just listen to the energy when those thoughts come out of your head. Now, think of your hobby. Think of what you love. Think about doing it more, being with it more. Feel, sense, see water thoughts as they fill up your brain. Ooh, this is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to play with it. Oh, I'm going to look at it. Feel the water thoughts absorbing into every niche in your brain. Good. feel this in yourself, you're going to be able to feel this in other people. Okay, now let's do a little bitty fire thought. Give a little flirt. Oh, come on. It's not silly. You've all flirted before. Come on, just give a little flirt. Feel that little bit of juice, that warmth that comes out with it. Okay? Now, if possible, think a little angry thought and see how quickly that anger wants to run from your body. Your body does not like fire thoughts. That's why we slam our fists down. That's why we stamp our feet. That's why we scream and raise our voice. Your body does not like to keep fire thoughts in it. Good. Now let's think of your bills. Sense that. Observe the frequency that goes on. Now, let's think of a big pile of cash right there in front of you. Listen to the bills flipping and see the other polarity of that earth thought. Most of us are psychic. Most of us can read people. Some of us are more attuned to it, and some of us have consciously educated ourselves to be able to interpret what we perceive. I strongly suggest that you play with the four elements of thought and check yourself out. Are you having a fire thought, a water thought, an air thought, or an earth thought? You know, I'm not going to forget a long, long time ago in the 1800s in Europe, there was a conference of physicists, and they decided to take ether away as an element because it messed up their equations. Oh, kind of like that conference that decided that Pluto was no longer a planet. And ether is a very important element. It's the element that travels over long distances. It is the element that psychic messages are sent on. It is the element that when you think about somebody, they call you very soon. Or it is the element where you know. Now, I know that I know things that I never studied. I know things that people haven't told me. And I've checked these things out, and the answers have been correct. The reasoning has been in alignment. And the element of ether is where you know things. You don't necessarily feel one of the four elemental thoughts. You perceive this in some way that is unmeasurable to people, our science, to people right now. Might even be called extrasensory perception. Might even be called that you are a knower. Ether comes very quickly. You will hear it in your head, and your first tendency will be to dismiss it. That is a mistake. You know how many times you've heard your intuition, ether, speak to you and have ignored it. You know how much that has cost you in time and energy. I want you to understand that through the planet Earth, that through each human body, each animal, each plant, each computer, everything and nothing in the whole Earth sphere is ether. and it is connected, and you are connected to everything. It is the place where we are all one. Ether thoughts are really strange, because if you try to receive an ether thought, it usually doesn't come. It's when you're relaxed. It's when you're intense. It's like kind of finding something that you were looking for something today, and you find something you were looking for last week that was lost. There's not too much more I can say about ether, because I really don't have the words to describe it. So there, take a deep breath. And the next time you look at flowing water, the next time you feel the breeze across your face, you stomp the ground, you see fire in a fireplace, remember, our thoughts assume the elements, and they assume the characteristics of certain elements. So you know, when you're trying to read somebody and they're very angry, you must match. You must read them from the fire perspective. When someone is very heavy, you must match the characteristics to Earth, and you will get the element Earth, and you will get a great reading. And water that flows, that takes the easiest path. When you become fluid and someone is in the characteristics of water, your reading will become quick and accurate. Fire, water, earth, air, light. Good old light, air. Thoughts pass so quickly through the head that just like jingles, sometimes they have to be repeated over and over again. They become viral in your brain. When you read somebody and they are in air and their face isn't moving, is this their mother talking? Is this their best friend talking? Or is it this person talking? I know many of us were young and we said we'd never grow up to sound like our parents, and one day we wake up and we go, oh my God, I sound just like my mother or father. So as you develop your psychic intuitive skills, know that there are many other matches in the universe where you can match different things to the thoughts to be able to get an insight on the contents of the thought of the person you are reading. That as you develop your psychic toolbox, you will find a method, a modality, a means of being psychic that is perfect for you, that is gentle and easy and quick for you. And also, having many tools in your toolbox, it is important to understand that when you're not getting a read on somebody, when somebody is seriously blocking you, that sometimes just switching tools can make a big difference. So take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Maybe next time you're on the phone with somebody, you have your little candle, you have some water and a crystal to represent Earth, and probably a fan or just the air around you moving, so that all the elements are present. And notice that your eyes will go to the candle when somebody is in fire thought. And earth thought will bring you to the crystal. And your eyes may look upward for the air. And you may look at your water. And you will teach yourself through your own perceptions, through your own interactions with the people you're working with, what element is in their thoughts. Now, I know some of you are listening and saying, hey, I don't want to be a psychic. Hey, I don't want to use any of this, but you do. How many times have I heard women ask their husbands, what are you thinking? Or say, I wonder what my child is thinking. So knowing these things is a tool for you in life. It's a tool for you to use in interviews and a tool for you to use in your social environment. Whether you're psychic or not, learn as many tools as possible to make all types of communications stronger and more effective for you. I have a book called Healing with Energy. It's a book about hands-on healing techniques. And in that book, it has a section on the elements that's not necessarily written the same way like every other person's section on elements. I strongly suggest that if you're a healer, you know that the diseases run on the four elements also, and many other things run on the four elements. And if you get a chance, pick up my book, Healing with Energy, by Star Fuentes. You know, being a master teacher and teaching all the time, I find it very rich to have so many students with so many questions. And in a little bit, we're going to have a space for you to call in and ask me some questions. The number you can call is 646-716-9663. And I will answer to my highest abilities whatever question you have for me. So take a deep breath. Good. And think about it. Think about calling me. Think about all the years of wisdom I've had. You know, thinking back to 1958 when I taught my first class, it seems like it was, well, I'm not going to say yesterday, but a couple years ago. It seems like it was a short time ago. And the years and years of learning with master teachers and the years of getting certifications from leading-edge psychological tools have created inside of me a very different aspect. So, you know, between shaman and psychologist and wise woman and a remarkably open woman. So I believe it is important for you to study. I believe it is important for you to get confirmation on the things going on in your life, and most of all, to stay on your appropriate path. When you observe yourself, are you fire? Are you water? Are you earth? Are you air? What are the majority of thoughts you have? How about the person nearest to you? Are you always having water and they always having fire, and all it does is create steam? you always have an earth, and they always have an air, so you don't meet in between. Just like NLP, match the person's element of thought. So take a deep breath, and I'm looking for my engineer here. Wow. Let's see where we are. Okay, I guess I'll talk about something else for a few minutes here. So, we've taken a look at some of the tools for you to use when you're psychically looking at someone. Now, let's look at, feel, and observe when we're psychically clearing someone. Imagine that someone calls you and asks to be cleared and asks that they have some feelings or emotions changed. What are you going to do? Well, usually when you clear yourself or you clear some other person, We do several things. The first thing I do is go back to my four elements. And I clear the person with air. I clear the person with water. I clear the person with fire. I clear the person with earth. Color is a wonderful clearing tool. Color can clear out all the dark spots and dull spots in someone's energy field. You can use many colors to clear. There's a whole rainbow of colors. You specifically will find the colors when you clear someone that seem to work the best for you. And most of the time, these colors will work. Then again, you're going to find colors that work best for some people. Sometimes when people get depressed and they're all gray, orange and yellow may not be the best colors to heal this depression. You may need a blue or a green to clear it away. Sometimes silvers and pinks work wonderful. When people call you, they call you for a wide variety of things. When strangers start conversations with you, they have many, many motives for starting this conversation. People need confirmation. They need confirmation that their path is moving in the right direction. They need confirmation that the decisions they're making is moving in the right direction. Some people need confirmation of their very existence. Sometimes people sense, feel in a subconscious way that you're a healer, that you have something for them. So they say things, hello, how's the weather? They approach you to experience your energy.
Hey, Star.
Hi.
It's Mark. Is it all right if we go to break?
Let's go.
All right. Everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We have our new show that started this evening with Star. And you can find out more about Star and our other radio shows on the main website. We, of course, have her link and her information up there. And you can find us at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Before I go to break, actually, I think your radio spot probably has your website on it, but do you want to just give it out to everybody that's listening?
www.starfuentes.com, and that's S-T-A-R-R-F-U-E-N-T-E-S. Lots of good stuff there. Check me out.
All right, and I'm going to go ahead and go to break, and when we come back from break, if you want to finish off your comments and everything like that, and then you'll be ready for some callers. Yeah, sounds good.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Join her here on Spiritual Connections Radio every Wednesday night for unique experiences she shares this knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
All right, Star, I'm going to put you on with Roy. Roy, you are on with Star.
Hi, Star.
Hey, Roy. What can I do for you this evening?
Well, it's great listening to the show. I feel that it's very relevant to my own life. And so my question for you is that I often find myself all over the map with erratic thoughts. I'm an entertainer. And as you were speaking, I can recognize I'm not often in the deep earth thoughts, but I'm in la-la land a lot. And what tools might you be able to suggest to me if I'm wanting to use what you've been speaking about to elevate my my staying on target for what I'm after?
Okay, well, let me address your issue first of all. As an entertainer, you're supposed to please everybody in the audience, and you're supposed to have eye contact with everybody, so you bounce from person to person to person, and you give this professional eye contact. And when you come off the stage, what happens is you're doing the same thing with your thoughts. You're going to one thought, am I there with that person? Am I going, to another thought? And you're bouncing all around. I suggest, well, first of all, I'm going to make a comment. Space cadet is not a job description, okay? It is a place where you have no earth. So any way you can, ground yourself, get back to earth, you play your music to many people, play your thoughts to yourself. When you get that scattered and think about that many things, your manifestation becomes zero or little. When you target your thoughts about the quality of your music, the quality of the cash coming in, then you will create that. But as a professional entertainer, you're still looking each thought right in the eye and smiling to your whole audience. Come back to earth, Roy, and give quality earth thoughts in one direction, and your cash will change, your fame will change, and your life will change.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Star. I so appreciate that. I'll be working very hard on my grounding. And I look forward to tuning in and hearing you on next week as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
For taking my call. Bye-bye.
All right, Star. You are going to be on with Sean. I'm sorry, Arv. Arv, are you there?
Sean.
Oh, hello?
Yes, hello. Star, thank you very much for that very interesting program.
Thank you. And what is your question tonight?
Well, my question is kind of a double one. One is I'm a person who doesn't particularly have too many needs. I'm comfortable. I'm retired. But I'm extremely, extremely bored. And I do one obsessive thing or another until I get sick of myself, and then I go into something else. And then I spend a lot of time sleeping. So it's kind of like I say, well, this is what the world is. You know, if you're not being chased by somebody and running, trying to stay away from the lion, then life is boring. You always have to be under a chase situation, it seems to me. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And then I have another thing that's
One question at a time.
Okay.
First of all, I'm going to suggest more facts. Hello?
What's that mean? Yes.
More sex.
Ah, okay. Except I don't have a prostate. I can't have sex.
Let me tell you something. Sex is not necessarily, you don't need a prostate to have sex. Sex is kissing. Sex is touch. Sex is love. It's looking into somebody's eyes. You're pretty bored. You're bored with life. You're bored because you are not reaching the highest levels of your own personal energy. Things bore you like a child because you haven't stepped into regions of energy and into parts of life that romance you and entice you into being of a higher vibration than you really are. And when we talk about love, when we talk about sex, I want you to interact with life. I want you to interact with things that don't bore you. Sleeping is a way to leave the planet. Playing with things that bore us. Tell me, maybe you're afraid of your own light. Maybe you're afraid of your own power. Find something you like. Do it with passion. Okay, next question.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow, I practically forgot my next question. I guess it's how did you start and learn at what age? What did you see in yourself that led you onto this path of intuition and healing?
Well, I think it was more circumstance than anything I said to myself. I thought everybody was psychic till I was into my early teens. And I would read people's thoughts, and when I went to school, I got in trouble with it. I guess because both my parents neglected me, that they didn't tell me what to do or what was right or wrong. I guess that and being severely wounded as a child let me have my psychic powers for my whole life.
Take
a deep breath. How psychic are you, and how much are you avoiding it?
I really don't know. That's a question I have to find out.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Star.
All right. Sean, you're on with Star.
Hello, Star. It's great to...
Hi.
To be on here and listen to you speaking. I had a bit of a question about sort of what I find is a natural way of thinking for myself, and I wondered if you feel like you're typically a more earth or grounded person, but you have a creative side. Occasionally I find that I'll get in a rut with my creative side, and I wondered if you might have any advice or tips on how to sort of blossom a creative side if you're normally more of a kind of constructive type person.
Well, it's the once a week something weird statement. Once a week, do something weird. Do take noodles and make an art painting out of it. Do something flower arranging. Do something weird that is totally out of your concept, which will take you farther out of your rut, And in doing that totally weird thing for 8 weeks or so, you're going to find something that hooks you, that you're going to love to do. And whether it's paint by number or, you know, working with old photographs and or anything like that, but do things you don't think you want to do, and especially that are creative. You know, write an article. Write an article on something you hate from the positive perspective. So when you're really stuck and you're on a slim line, you have to go really way out there to break the rut. Do you understand
Excellent.
What I'm saying? Something weird once a week.
I do. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Thank you.
And is it Rachel? Rachel?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how can I be of service?
Hi, Star. So I have a few old patterns and thoughts that I have been trying to get over for the past couple years, and they just seem to keep on popping up, and I'm not quite sure how to break through them and let go of them. What can I do to kind of shift that and change that for my life?
Wow. You know, that's saying a lot without saying anything. What kind of patterns and thoughts?
Let's say I have a fear about what will happen to my physical body, like getting in a car wreck or an accident or something like that. And it's just an old kind of a paranoia.
Okay, so one of the first things I suggest you do is you talk to your body. And you tell your body, this is now. I am born into a new life. We have no idea how many times we drowned and got killed and got stabbed and all this other stuff. And sometimes we bring that energy, especially if we got into a lifetime where we were crippled for life or somebody had to take care of us or we couldn't take care of ourselves. And you bring that energy forward to this lifetime, it creates a pattern. If I stub my toe, am I going to get gangrene and die? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Something like what something is going to happen to my body. So every day, tell yourself, I'm in a new body now. It's safe here. That was then. This is now. I'm sure you have other patterns that need other answers. And I look forward to your calls in the weeks to come so I can give you some new hints and ideas of things to do. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, Jeannie?
Star.
Hello.
It's Jeannie Greer. And I love you, and I miss you, and welcome, and mazel tov, congratulations. I am so excited for you, I can't begin to tell you.
Well, thank you for your wonderful, long, very meaningful email the other day.
My pleasure.
All right, how can I be of service?
You are of service to everybody in the world, and the faster they realize it, the happier I will be.
Well, thank you, darling. Anything you'd like to know?
Yeah, one thing. I have a twitch on my left eye.
Look, just a second. Is it a corner twitch or an upper lid twitch?
It's a corner and underneath the eye.
Okay. And what's the question?
Why? I can't get, I have been working on it, but it seems to keep coming back. I know probably dry eye is involved because of the antihistamines that we've had to take up here in New York.
Uh-huh. And how much water do you drink every day?
Oh, about 7 glasses, full glasses of water a day. I need more, I guess.
Okay. What I would like you to do is take a smooth, round rock. Preferably rose quartz, rhodochrosite. I would like you to lay face down with that rock on the exact place that the twitch is.
Will do.
And 3 to 13 days, the nervous energy should flow through the skin out into the rock. The rock may discolor, the rock may crack, but that's the price for your healing.
Thank you. It's
all
also
because
right, I'm getting my very first great grandnephew in a week or so.
Oh, mazel tov. Thank you, honey.
Thank you, darling. Love to everybody and the pups.
Bye.
Bye.
Is there anybody else out there?
Hi, Star. It's Mark, and I have a question for you.
Good, Mark.
I was listening to you earlier, and you were basically saying that sometimes as spiritual people or as a spiritual person on his path, that we can sometimes jeopardize or be afraid of our power, and we would do things or create situations that would impede our growth or basically make it so that we're not successful, so that we don't really get out there and do the work that we should be doing. How do you know if you're on that path?
Well, because you want people to like you, number one, the greatest thing. And the other thing is you want people to think you're normal. Now, I've seen more people lose their light by pretending to be normal and wanting people to like them. And if you want people to like you, your speech, your book, to like what you have to say, then you're off that path. And if you feel like you don't fit in and acknowledge that that's okay, as long as you're being true to yourself and true to who you are, then you know you're off the path. It's really, really amazing how scared people are of their own light. It's like, if I bring all this light into myself, I've got to be responsible for it, or I'm going to lose my friends, or I'll be lonely at the top. Well, all of those things may happen, but probably not. Probably the light will bring more people to you, and more people will acknowledge who you are, and it'll be gentler and easier for you to exist versus in your own doubt and fear of your light.
Thank you for that. Second question. I do not follow a lot of your teachings because I'm new to you, and it's amazing to listen to all the different things you teach, and I felt very enlightened today and very full of gratitude for being able to learn what I did from you today. Just incredible how much knowledge you have. The question I have for you is, what do you think of meditation, and how important do you think it is that people meditate?
Well, I think it's one of the most important things. I think it comes right up there with eating, sleeping, and going to the bathroom. You must have quiet silence in your mind and heart. Many, many people ask questions all day long. Oh, why did this happen to me? Oh, what's in my way? And you ask all these questions. Now, imagine all the answers lined up. Let's see, I'm 74 years old. 74 years worth of angels holding a card with an answer on it, yet I've never shut up to let the angel speak to me. And I think why people don't like meditation is because you're silent and you're quiet and you think like a God should speak to you and tell you your answers. That's not how it happens. When you're silent, when you meditate, any of the dozens of different ways to meditate, you open a space in your subconscious and all the answers go into your subconscious and slowly they drift up into your conscious mind. Meditation is a place where we receive earth, where we receive source. All day long, we're walking and talking and breathing and thinking and giving all this energy out of ourselves and giving and giving. And no matter what you believe in, what source or what God you believe in, that when you are still, when you are silent, when you are whole upon yourself, you receive.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that most of the time the answers that you're going to get are going to come up like a day later. They're not going to be immediate within the meditation itself.
Well, you know, it's kind of like when you're thinking of somebody's name, you can't think of it, and then you go when you're washing dishes and you can think of it. It's kind of like that. And sometimes the answers never come because the answer is you have to go through the experience which evolves you to be able to find solutions for other problems. Yes, the answers come, but they don't come into a voice in your head. Some of them may, but one of the reasons people are disillusioned with meditation is they think that the first three times they meditate, they should have an answer. It is a way of receiving light, energy, connecting to the oneness, connecting to your God, connecting to your higher self. It's not about getting an answer. It's about receiving. And most people who don't meditate don't get that. So I think it's a very crucial key to being healthy, to being wise, to being wealthy, is to take that space to receive.
Thank you for that. I'm going to put on one last caller for you, and then we'll be ready to wrap it up because we're about 3 minutes in. Hold it. Here we go.
All right.
Hi, you are on with Star.
Hi, Star.
Hello.
My name is Sylvia, and I wanted to know how you know that you're on the right path.
How do you know if you're on the right path? Do you get God bumps when you think of it? When you get up in the morning and you're doing, being whatever you're supposed to be doing, do you jump out of bed to do it? Do you do this with a smile and a light step, even though you've been doing it for 20 hours? When you tell people what your path is, are you proud of it, or are you looking for confirmation from them? Are you on your right path? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you are on your right path. And it's all about energy and all about attitude. And you are on your right path.
Well, how do you know if what you are receiving is resistance or like a test from God?
Resistance?
What if you're having to break through resistance versus getting signs? Like, what is the difference between a sign and a test from God?
Okay, a sign is usually something very blatant. You've asked for it. Give me a sign. You see a white squirrel. You know there aren't a lot of white squirrels. I watch the billboards and the other things that go past. They might have the word that I'm asking from it. When I get a lesson, it is because I haven't paid attention. When I get resistance, it is because I believe that it's my way. That once you do something for years and years and years and it works and you jump to a higher vibrational level, it doesn't work anymore. The laws change at a higher vibrational level, and you must flow and be able to do it at the vibrational level that you're at. So maybe you see it as resistance. What I see it as growth. As soon as you know the laws of the light, they change because you're at a higher level of light.
All right, and we are wrapping it up, and thank you for calling in.
And thank you.
All right, Star, that was a beautiful show, and I'm going to go ahead and close off the end. If you want to just say one last goodbye before we end the show, we'll be looking forward to hearing you on the air at the same time next week.
All right. see me on Stage It, stageit.com, every Monday. www.starfuentes.com. Thank you, everybody.